stillness, focus, clarity. Rooted in mindfulness and a quiet rebellion against screen-saturated lives, slow looking is becoming increasingly popular in galleries and heritage spaces, and it might just be the antidote to modern overwhelm. The article is written by self-confessed TikTok addict Serena Smith, and it's read by Olivia Vinnell.
Take a slow breath in through your nose. An ASMR-like voice coos through my headphones. As you breathe out, gently, slowly, allow your shoulders to drop. This isn't a guided meditation session at a woo-woo wellness retreat. Rather, I'm at Kingston Lacey, an Italianate estate in the Dorset countryside, where I've come to see Rembrandt's 1635 painting, Self-Portrait, wearing a white feathered bonnet. Rembrandt's Selfie is on the first stop of a year-long tour with a difference. It's the first exhibition where the Trust is inviting visitors to try a simple but powerful way to enjoy art. It's known as slow looking, and it's gaining traction. Instead of rushing from piece to piece, slow looking encourages you to pause, spend time with a single artwork, and really notice what's there. Curator Amy Orrock explains, "Slow looking is about taking the time to focus on one thing, be it a painting or an object, letting your eyes adjust and taking in the detail. On average, museum and gallery visitors spend just 8 seconds looking at a piece of art. Slow looking began as a quiet rebellion against our collective tendency to rush, offering an alternative rooted in stillness and attention. It draws inspiration from the same cultural movements that champion slow food and slow living, each of which encourages us to be more present, intentional, and connected. Amy believes the coronavirus pandemic helped bring fresh energy to the slow-looking movement as curators began creating online experiences while galleries and museums were closed during lockdown. She explains, "The drive to provide access to works of art that people couldn't visit in person prompted curators to think about how we might also guide people in looking at works of art. Now the arts and heritage sector is thinking more about how to make experiences fit for the modern world. Many world-leading institutions have come to embrace slow looking, with New York's Metropolitan Museum of Art, the National Gallery, and the Tate all running programs and events encouraging visitors to try it out. It's little wonder the practice is proving popular. Ever since the Industrial Revolution introduced tightly coordinated work schedules and routines, the pace of modern life has been speeding up. Today, it's difficult to shake the notion that it's a cardinal sin to waste time and that every moment of our lives should be spent productively. Technological advances have only exacerbated this feeling. Our attention is often divided between innumerable stimuli. Many of us spend sizable amounts of time doom-scrolling on addictive social media apps, despite instinctively knowing we're happier and calmer when we're offline, or, in Gen Z parlance, touching grass. There are also growing signs that the amount of time we're spending online is impacting our ability to focus. One study by King's College London found that around half of us feel as though our attention spans are shorter than they used to be. Perhaps unsurprisingly, this is impacting the way we engage with art. Amy says, "With the explosion of the digital world, we've arguably lost the ability to concentrate on just one thing at a time. It's hard to be bored now. If you're on a train or a bus, you look around, and most people aren't just looking out of the window. They're looking at their phones, often being bombarded with lots of messages. Slow looking is about trying to counter some of that." Other research suggests that slow looking really can rewire our smartphone-addled brains. A Cambridge University experiment conducted at Kettle's Yard Art Gallery last year found that actively considering the beauty of art increases abstract thinking, which can help us escape the mental trappings of day-to-day living. As someone who spends an embarrassing amount of time on TikTok, I was particularly keen to give slow looking a go. So I take a seat in front of the Rembrandt selfie, hit play on the dedicated slow-looking audio guide, and face the painting. It's exquisite, sure, but I'm easily distracted. My mind can't help but ping-pong from one passing anxiety to the next. It started to drizzle, Did I bring a waterproof with me? What time is my train back to London? Do I need to buy milk? Before long, the 3-minute audio comes to an end, and I realize I've barely followed it along at all. I resolve to try again. Initially, I still find it hard to let go of the notion that I'm somehow not doing slow looking properly. But curator Amy assures me, there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's very much about trusting your instincts and seeing what starts to speak to you. You might be struck by the colors of the picture or notice something in the texture. You might start to think that the subject looks familiar or wonder whether they look angry or happy. It's about giving time and attention to one thing and enjoying a moment of tranquility in the mad rush of daily life. I gaze at the painting. I'm drawn to the feather crowning Rembrandt's cap. I like the shape of it. It's almost perfectly rectangular. I take in his plush velvet cape, specifically the way a bright white light is falling on his foremost shoulder. My eyes move to the golden embroidery fringing the cape, painted so precisely that it's easy for me to imagine running my fingers over the intricate stitching. I consider his face, his eyes withholding and shrouded in shadow, his cheeks doughy and bathed in a warm yellow glow. I notice a passing resemblance to one of my housemates. According to the audio guide, Rembrandt is 29 in this 1635 painting, making them the same age. The experience distorts my sense of time. I'm not sure how long I spend looking at the self-portrait. 20 minutes? 30? Either way, when I eventually get up to leave, I'm unusually clear-headed. Keen to make the serene feeling last, I decide to meander through Kingston Lacey's gardens. It's a brisk, damp day, with intermittent showers. Thankfully, I did remember to bring a waterproof jacket after all. The kind of weather which dashes hopes of an Indian summer. As I snake through the Acer Glade where the leaves are already awash with colour, I feel strikingly grounded in the real world. The usual noise in my head has quietened. This isn't mere placebo. Research from the British Medical Journal found that there is promising evidence that spending time looking at art can significantly reduce stress. Other studies, Amy tells me, have shown that slow looking can help people develop emotional resilience, as well as feel inspired and enlightened. Doctors have even started prescribing trips to museums as a way to enhance well-being and promote stress reduction, Amy continues. At the National Trust, we're trying to lean into that feeling of escape, to provide a balm to the stresses of everyday life. In such a fast-paced world, with so many competing demands on our attention, it's difficult, if not impossible, to stop yourself feeling spread too thin. At every turn, we're encouraged to prioritize quantity over quality, efficiency over enrichment, convenience over consciousness, instant gratification over delayed. Slow looking gently asks us to reassess these priorities. Of course, the practice can't redress the root causes of modern malaise, but while it's no silver bullet, slow looking can evidently make us feel more lucid, balanced and connected to one another. In other words, more alive.
Meet Rembrandt, a slow looking experience, is at Kingston Lacey in Dorset from the 12th of January to the 22nd of March. The exhibition then journeys to Dunham Massey in Cheshire from the 27th of March until the 12th of July, before completing its run at Upton House in Warwickshire between the 17th of July and the 8th of November. And for more antidotes to modern overwhelm, try taking a slower look while visiting these Trust beauty spots.
Angels and Oak, Rufford Old Hall in Lancashire. Pause at the carved oak screen in this Tudor Great Hall. It's the only surviving movable screen of its kind, and once separated the kitchen passage from the dining area. Look closely at the late Gothic tracery, vine patterns, and ram's horn finials, where angels and heraldic arms tell stories of wealth and status.
A lake with a view. Mount Stuart in County Down. Follow the lakeside path at Mount Stuart, where water reflects the trees and sky overhead. This gentle, accessible route leads to a bench with a view worth lingering over. watch for darting birds, shifting reflections, and the play of light across the surface.
Dancing light, Cragside in Northumberland. Pause by the stained glass window in Cragside's cosy inglenook, designed by Morris & Co. in the late 19th century. The richly coloured panels tell the story of the seasons. Let your eyes wander through the patterns and symbols, where light brings new life to the traditional craftsmanship.
Tromp or circumstance? Dereham Park in South Gloucestershire. This 17th century trompe-l'oeil painting by Samuel van Hoogstraten tricks the eye into seeing a corridor through a house. It's full of everyday objects, a broom, birdcage, and a letter, each one placed with purpose. Look slowly to reveal the layers of story.
The Queen's Gaze, Hardwick in Derbyshire. This life-size portrait of Elizabeth I shows her in her 60s, dressed in embroidered silks and surrounded by symbols of power. Take your time with the details, the jewels, her expression, and the creatures stitched into her gown. Slow looking reveals layers of image making. What does she want you to see?